Laudato Jesus Christus. This is the English program of Vatican Radio.
Hello and welcome to our half-hour English feature program. I'm Susie Hodges, and first of all, I would like to wish you a very happy new year. Coming up on today's program, Pope denounces attack. In his Angelus address, Pope Benedict condemned a bomb blast outside a Coptic church in Egypt, which killed at least 21 people, saying it offends God and all of humanity. And we also report on Vatican and church reaction to this bombing, and to an accusation of interference levelled against the Pope by the Egyptian Grand Imam. Verbum Domini, Part 2. We listen to the second and final part of Abbot Timothy Wright's reflection on Pope Benedict's apostolic exhortation, Verbum Domini. And a page a day. At the beginning of January each year, the Catholic lay group Sant'Egidio produces a book of prayer that aims to accompany us throughout the season. Claudio Betti talks about the book and of how it encourages us all to read the Bible and to find time in our busy lives to meet the Lord. Pope Benedict has condemned the bombing outside a Coptic church in Egypt that killed 21 people, calling it a vile act of death against Christians. Emma McCarthy reports.
Speaking to a densely packed St. Peter's Square after the Sunday Angelus prayer, the Pope described his sorrow and pain on hearing news of the latest spate of killings targeting Christian communities in the Middle East.
Davanti a questa strategia di violenze,
he said, "We learned with sorrow the news of the serious attack against the Coptic Christian community in Alexandria, Egypt." He continued, "This vile act of death, such as planting bombs close to the homes of Christians in Iraq to force them to leave, offends God and offends all humanity, who only yesterday prayed for peace and began the new year with hope." On Saturday, marking the 44th World Day for Peace, in fact, Pope Benedict had renewed his call for religious freedom as the only path to peace, social stability and coexistence between cultures and peoples. On Sunday, the Holy Father appealed for Christians to remember the gospel teachings of non-violence, saying before this strategy of violence that has targeted Christians and has consequences for the whole population, I pray for the victims and family members and encourage church communities to persevere in faith and witness to non-violence that comes from the gospel.
Penso anche ai numerosi operatori pastorali.
Pope Benedict, however, also remembered those religious and lay killed during the course of the past year because of their witness to their faith. Once again this year, Fides Agency published its annual report of all the pastoral workers who lost their lives in a violent manner over the course of the last 12 months. According to their information, during 2010, 23 pastoral care workers were killed. One bishop, 15 priests, one male religious, one religious sister, two seminarians, and three lay Christians.
I wish you all a pleasant Sunday and renew my good wishes for a happy new year.
The Holy Father concluded his address Sunday by reminding all present that as Christians, we remain united in Christ, our hope and our peace.
We now report on reaction by the Vatican and by Catholic leaders to the Coptic Church bombing and to an accusation of interference levelled against Pope Benedict by the Egyptian Grand Imam. Chris Altieri picks up the story.
The director of the Holy See's press office, Jesuit Father Federico Lombardi, renewed the Holy See's commitment to authentic religious liberty as the essential element in the search for true peace on Monday. He was responding to remarks from the chief imam of Al-Hazar in Egypt, who on Sunday condemned the deadly New Year's attack on Coptic Christians emerging from a church in Alexandria, but criticized the appeal by Pope Benedict XVI to Egypt's leaders to counter the persecution of Christians as an interference in internal Egyptian affairs. In his remark, Father Lombardi notes both the imam's condemnation of the attack and the imam's personal visit to the Coptic Pope to offer his condolences, before going on to reiterate the position of the Holy Father and the Holy See.
Per quanto riguarda la posizione del Papa, è chiarissima come sempre: condanna radicale della violenza, vicinanza alla comunità.
Pope Benedict XVI's position is very clear and always has been: a radical condemnation of violence, closeness to the community that has been so horribly stricken, and concern for the religious freedom of Christian minorities. As the Pope said in his Peace Day message, his concern for religious freedom of Christians has always been within the context of his concern for the religious freedom of all people, not only Christians. Time and again, Pope Benedict XVI has condemned violence against all people, not only that which is perpetrated against Christians. We recall his recent discourse to the new ambassador to the Holy See from Iraq, in which the Pope spoke of the innocent victims of violence, both Muslim and Christian.
Che evidentemente mira a dividere, a suscitare tensione, odio e conflitto. Non bisogna quindi nessuno.
Right now we need the commitment of all those responsible for the safety of people and the fight against terrorism. We also need all those from all faiths, from every persuasion, to work for peace, to commit themselves to opposing a foul plan that evidently aims to divide, to arouse tensions, hatred and conflict. Pope Benedict XVI's invitation to Assisi for this coming October demonstrates his desire to repeat the message that no war may be waged in God's name, only peace. Between the 6th and the 7th of January, Coptic Christians celebrate Christmas. Let us unite ourselves to them in profound solidarity with their suffering and with prayers for the peace of all their communities.
Uniamoci a loro in profonda solidarietà nella loro sofferenza e nella preghiera per la pace per tutte le loro comunità.
On Monday, the president of the Pontifical Council for Interreligious Dialogue, Cardinal Jean-Louis Taron, shared his reaction to the New Year's bombing in Alexandria, Egypt.
Le mot qui m'est venu à l'esprit, c'est abjection, parce que nous sommes là face à une perversion de la religion.
The word that comes to mind is heartache, said Cardinal Taron. This is a perversion of religion. No religion can justify such an approach, one that attacks men and women who are praying, thereby expressing the noblest of the human person. Cardinal Taron goes on to advise against giving in either to anger or to indifference, calling anger an evil counselor, and remembering John Paul II's words during the Balkan crisis: we do not have the right to be indifferent. The solution, said Cardinal Taron, is dialogue. This means that dialogue must be intensified, as the Pope said in his recent message for the World Day of Peace. I'm Chris Altieri.
In other reaction, the Apostolic Nuncio to Egypt, Archbishop Michael Fitzgerald, condemned the New Year's Day church bombing and said the attack proves that religious freedom is the key to peace.
Here in Egypt, the year has started badly, I would say, with this attack. We condemn this attack very roundly, and particularly on this first day of the year when the Holy Father has asked us to pray for peace. His message this year is that religious liberty is a condition for peace, and we see that this is so, because if communities are not able to celebrate in peaceful circumstances with all tranquility, then there will not be tranquility within society. We Catholics and other Christians were celebrating Christmas on the 25th of December, and we were able to do so quite peacefully without any danger, and the celebrations went very well. Now we see that on this first day of the year, the Orthodox community has been targeted, and they are preparing to celebrate their Christmas on the 7th of January. We can understand how worried they are and how concerned they are about the safety of their churches. Security has been increased, but it is very difficult to stop all attacks, to find everything that is suspicious.
That was Archbishop Fitzgerald, the Apostolic Nuncio to Egypt. The Coptic
Catholic Bishop of Assyut in central Egypt, William Kyrillos, says the church bombing was shocking but predictable.
We heard about this attentate in Alexandria, and we wasn't completely surprised because we heard from time to time that they will do something on the feast for us, the New Year, and the churches were full from faithful praying all the night. And yes, some people is afraid that more happen because they observe that all the security done isn't enough to defend them.
That was the Coptic Catholic Bishop William Kyrillos speaking to Vatican Radio's Marie Duhamel. And now we go over to Linda Bordoni for the rest of today's feature programme.
In his recently published apostolic exhortation, Verbum Domini, the Word of the Lord, Pope Benedict XVI encourages Catholics to embrace and value each of the ways God tries to speak to humanity. The document, which is a papal reflection on the conclusions of the 2008 Synod of Bishops on the Word of God, was released at the Vatican in mid-November. Last week we listened to the first part of Benedictine Abbot Timothy Wright's reflection on the document, which highlights the Pope's conviction that God constantly tries to enter into dialogue with the people he created, speaking through creation and even through silence, but mainly in the Church, through the Bible, and through his Son, Jesus Christ.
Let me consider the word now from a different perspective. The word comes to me as God speaking. My response is to see this as gift, as revelation. The Pope writes,
God makes himself known to us as a mystery of infinite love, in which the Father eternally utters his word in the Holy Spirit. Consequently, the Word, who from the beginning is with God and is God, reveals God himself in the dialogue of love between the divine persons and invites us to share in that love, created in the image and likeness of the God who is love.
That is a powerful motive bringing us into union with the God who is love, that it is God calling. We have only to respond. We don't have to initiate the dialogue. And once we say yes to the dialogue, what happens? The Pope again.
In this dialogue with God, we come to understand ourselves, and we discover an answer to our heart's deepest questions. How important it is for our time to discover that God alone responds to the yearning present in the heart of every man and woman. Sad to say, in our days and in the West, there is a widespread notion that God is extraneous to people's lives and problems, and that his very presence can be a threat to human autonomy.
Yes, that negative comment may be true, but until we've had the experience of really penetrating into the Word of God, of giving time to the Word of God, then we are in no position, I would suggest, to be commenting on how deep a fulfillment can come from this revelation. It's very easy, because the two experiences, the God who is outside my life and doesn't care, and the God who is intimately involved with me and offering a future which expands and magnifies my whole being, are two different starting points. But the common denominator between the two is the way of reading the revelation. On the one hand, the word comes across as threat, as a God who is a judgmental a God who is always trying to limit my freedom. And on the other, this God is a God who's taking my whole being and trying to transform it into something much better than it really is. And those two positions exist. And the common denominator, as I say, is the word. And the problem is that how one responds to the invitation to dialogue.
Each of us is thus enabled by God to hear and respond to his word. We were created in the word and we live in the word. We cannot understand ourselves unless we are open to this dialogue.
And it is precisely that understanding, that presumption, which is at the heart of the problem I articulated a moment ago. Those who see no relevance and those who see it is the fulfillment of my life. And we cannot move until we have learnt how to access the revelation. If we think we have the solution to all our problems, then of course it's very difficult to see and understand any other way of solving our problems. If we're always blaming someone else because things don't go right, or we're not getting the jobs we want to have, if we see it purely in terms of one human competing with another, and my life is worthless unless I really fight for it, then, of course, the world in which one lives is not going to be open to the revelation of a different understanding of work, because the word I'm dealing with is a word I understand, I can see where it's going, and I can make my judgments, right or wrong, about those who use it in dialogue with me. But there is another view. And the other view is that the word of God is there to bring about change in ourselves. And the change in ourselves is a very simple one, but a very profound one. Do I control my life totally? And if I say yes, I do, and I'm going to live by that framework, I do what I want to do, or I think I ought to do, and that's it, that's fine. And I cope with the negatives and the positives as part of the roller coaster of life. And when I have to face death, then it is a world without any meaning beyond. It's just the end, and that's all I live for. It is the, if you like, it's a concept of what the Pope calls in his encyclical realism. The realist being the one who just sees life in this world, and that's it. He gives another interpretation to this realism, because he says,
the word of God makes us change our concept of realism. The realist is the one who recognizes in the word of God the foundation of all things. This realism is particularly needed in our own time, when many things in which we trust for building our lives, things in which we are tempted to put our hopes, prove ephemeral. Possessions, pleasure, and power show themselves sooner or later to be incapable of fulfilling the deepest yearnings of the human heart. In building our lives, we need solid foundations which will endure when human certainties fail.
And it is that revealed word which is the solid foundation, because it is the foundation which says, this isn't the ultimate answer. There is an answer beyond the reality of the present moment. And the realism we're talking about is a realism which takes us into a world where the word of God is the foundation of all things, not the materialist, humanly created world of the word around us. And it is precisely in that understanding of realism that we find a sense in which the whole of our vision expands. Because I'm now not just coping on my own, in my own world, with my own family, my own options, my own career. I'm now looking at it from a bigger world in which everyone is bounded together because all things are dependent on God. All things are there because God has willed them to be there. And the Word is what is making sense of this mass of different things going on in our world, whether they're to do with truths of invention, whether they're to do with moral issues, whether they're to do with entertainment and pleasure, whether they're to do with behaviours or whatever. There is a sense in which the revelation of the Word of God gives us a reverence for the created world because of the creating Word that made the world possible. If I don't accept that dimension, then I live in a different world and a different environment with a different vision. The two coexist today. But within the Christian dimension, this is a very powerful concept of what the Word of God is about. And this leads to another idea which emerges out of the whole understanding of Word, which is the opposite of Word, which is silence.
God also speaks by his silence. The silence of God, the experience of the distance of the Almighty Father, is a decisive stage in the earthly journey of the Son of God, the incarnate Word. Hanging from the wood of the cross, he lamented the suffering caused by that silence. My God, why have you forsaken me? This experience of Jesus reflects the situation of all those who, having heard and acknowledged God's Word, must also confront his silence. This has been the experience of countless saints and mystics, and even today is part of the journey of many believers. God's silence prolongs his earlier words. In these moments of darkness, he speaks through the mystery of his silence.
And that is the silence of our inner being, a silence of not being able to control, of sense of I am being taken over by events. I'm not sure which direction they're going. I stick to what I have learnt from the Word. And it is precisely this Word which, once spoken and heard in silence, takes on a different understanding. It's not like the words in conversation. It's not like the words in a newspaper or on the television. Heard one moment and gone the next. These are words which are pondered at depth in the silence. And it is precisely in that silence that people can learn to appreciate the distinctiveness of the revelation of the Word of God. And it's by seeing its distinctive, then you see its centrality in the life of being a Christian and the life of the church. That is, we have to discover what it means to have a sense of recollection, an inner calm, trusting in the Word. And it is that depth of experience which gives flesh and gives insight to the Christian notion of realism, that our life is in the hands of God. Because in that silence, in that depth, there is from time to time a sense of love, of being, of union. And that is the fulfillment, the beginnings of the fulfillment of this encounter with the God who speaks to us in the revealed Word, inviting us to respond in our own words, or to respond in the words given to us by the inspiration like the Psalms. But without that dimension of silence, there's always a danger that everything remains superficial. That's why we need to find times and places to be with the Word, in order for the Word to do justice to us, and for us to appreciate that the Word is a journey into something bigger, bigger than ourselves, bigger than the letters that make up the Word, bigger than the sounds. And that something bigger, is a notion of love and fulfillment. Now, but more especially in the future. Amen.
You've been listening to Benedictine abbot Timothy Wright. And thanks too to Sean Patrick Lovett for the readings. Prayer is at the heart of the life of the community of Sant'Egidio, and it is its absolute priority. At the end of each day, all members of the community gather around the Lord to listen to his word. And every year, Father Vincenzo Paglia, Bishop of Terni Narni Amelia and spiritual advisor of the community of Sant'Egidio, publishes a book that is translated into English and encourages us all to read the Bible and to find time in our busy lives to meet the Lord. I asked Claudio Betti, a member of the Sant'Egidio community since its very beginnings in 1968, about the book, what its aim is, what to expect from it, and where to get hold of it.
You know, Sant'Egidio is multifaceted. I mean, we work with the poor, but we also are people of prayer. And every day we pray together in wherever we are. So every community of Sant'Egidio prays together wherever it is. We have communities all over the world, and everywhere the community of Sant'Egidio is present, there is a prayer. In order to help our personal prayer, the community publishes every year a very important book, I think. It is The Word of God Every Day, which is produced by Monsignor Vincenzo Paglia, the Bishop of Terni, Narni and Amelia, who is a bishop who is connected to the community and is a member of Sant'Egidio. And this book is translated in many languages. It is just come out in English, and it is available on Amazon. So I repeat the name. It is The Word of God Every Day by Vincenzo Paglia. You can find it also under Comunità, the community of Sant'Egidio. And it is a passage of the gospel explained every day. And this year especially is the passage of the gospel of the day. So we can follow day by day the prayer of the church with a short explanation. It's a page. In order to say that a page of the gospel every day helps us be different. And this is something that I would like to propose to all of those who listen, because I think that we are too far away from the scriptures. And I think that we do not need to become theologians. We do not need to become people who study the scriptures as professionals. The important thing is to maintain a faithfulness, the faithfulness of one page a day. And this is a great help.
Which isn't a lot to ask, is it? One page a day. Is it a small book that we can carry with us?
No, it is not a small book. It is the old year. So it's a book that you should keep at home, I think. You were saying it is not much to ask. I think you're right, but at the same time, there is a problem of listening to a voice which is totally other than yours. And in a world that runs so quickly and so fast, often the last thing that we remember is to read the Word of God. This book helps us not to do that and to remember, at least for a page a day.
That's all from the English Feature Programme today, and from me, Linda Bordoni. But we will be back at this same time tomorrow, so join us then. You can also listen to our programmes on the internet at www.vaticanradio.org. You're listening to Vatican Radio's English programme. Laudetur Jesus Christus.